I want to talk about standing in the winner's circle, or victory lane, they call it in the racing. And, in track, you stand on the podium, high guy and the second and third guy, you know. But God wants us to live in a place of victory. Amen. You know, over all your circumstances, your situation, enemies, obstacles, everything that stands in your way, every trap that Satan has set, every snare that he has set, God wants us to have victory. He wants us to live in the winner's circle. Hello? No matter what your vocation is in life, God wants you to be a victor. Okay? You know, now, when we look at this, we need to understand something. God has designed you to be a champion. Now, God intended us for to be more than a conqueror. He said we were more than conquerors. Now, to be a champion, you have to do something. You just don't become a champion because you got a lot of talent and you're a good runner, or you're a good player, or you're a good shooter, or whatever. If you want to be a champion, you got to do something about it. Now, God has designed us to be a champion, but if we're going to be a champion, we got to do something. You know, now, I think, personally, in the Old Testament, one of my greatest champions is David. Now, some people have Daniel and some people do somebody else, but I like David. I think he was one of the greatest champions because I think he defeated the biggest guy that there was. Also, he became the one, as far as you can look into history, he became probably the greatest leader, and Israel enjoyed more prosperity and esteem and fame under David's kingship, under his leadership. I mean, he fought the Philistines and he beat them every time. You know, he defeated Goliath. Nobody else would even come close to going out there. And he won over King Saul. And I think we can learn something from him. Hey, y'all here, y'all going home already? Are you just listening real good? You know, like I said, being on the in victory lane or standing on the podium or being in the winner's circle just doesn't happen automatically. You know, David wasn't an automatic winner in life. He wasn't just lucky or born with a silver spoon. You know, as a youngster, he fought the lion and the bear and a lot of different things. You have to get ready to win. And you, in order to be a winner, you have to want to win. You know, some people just sit around, well, waiting for their luck to change. No, luck ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, you have to have preparation. Great victories come out of great battles. You know, my dad was always saying, everybody talk about they want a victory. He said, I never seen anybody get a victory that didn't have to go through a battle first. You know, preparation is necessary if you're going to be a winner. You know, I just didn't go down and sign up and go to the locker room and get shoulder pads and hip pads and knee pads and the jersey and a helmet and the pants and put on some cleats and go out and be a winner on a football team. Any of you guys ever do that? No, you got to make the team first. And that takes a lot of hard work. Man, that third week of August down in Texas, when you first start working out, it's 100 and something degrees. I got any Texans here? I got any guys that played football in Texas? Anybody here? I know Rich did, so he knows what I'm talking about. But some of y'all might have been. Anybody have played football in from hot country? When you go out and start working out, right there at the end of August, you know what? I seen a lot of guys check in the locker room and get equipment, but a week later, they were nowhere to be found. You ever see that happen? I saw a guy raise his hand. Huh? Yeah. If you want to be a winner, you got to do what's necessary to get there. When I was running track, my junior year in high school, running for Canyonville Bible Academy in Canyonville, Oregon, we ran the state track meet May 1957. You know, I didn't get to the state track meet because I went out and ran a few 220s. Coach would dismiss everybody, and I'd stay out there and run 5, 6, 8, 10 more 220s. Walk a curve, run a 220. Walk a curve, run a 220. Walk a curve, run a 220. I mean, everybody else in the locker room showering and everything else, they all get out of the way anyway. But you know what? When we come to that state track meet and push come to shove, one of my other buddies didn't put the practice time in. He fell by the wayside, and I kept going. Why? Because I did what was necessary. I'm not trying to pin any roses on me. But what I'm trying to say, if you're going to win, you got to prepare to win. Now, there's some things you're going to have to avoid doing if you're going to be victorious. There's some places you can't go if you're going to win. There's some people that you can't hang with if you're going to be a winner. You have to avoid that. Go to Psalms 1:1. Psalms 1:1. We'll go in here. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, I call this a trap. I'm going to talk about some traps now. The trap of wrong counsel. You know. Oh man, Hagin, look at your times. You're a lot faster than any of the guys that we're going to be running against. Why are you out here doing this? That's wrong counsel. You know, I've had some friends and even relatives that were fantastic athletes in high school. They were so good that they really didn't even have to practice. But when they got to college, everybody else was as good as they were. And they hadn't put in the practice time, so they weren't used to a good work ethic. You know, people will cause you to go in the wrong direction if you listen to their counsel. Some people would discourage you. They'll say, oh no, you can't accomplish that. Why are you even trying? Some people will act like they know what they're talking about when they have not the experience to back it up. You know, I can talk to somebody. I was talking to one of my grandsons because he went out for track. I was talking to him about running track. I ran track. I ran in a state track meet. I ran in regionals. I ran in district. I know what he needs to do to get there. It's surprising to me that some people will listen to somebody in the church trying to tell them what to do when they don't even have any experience at it. You know, I used to get amused at people. They would listen to, and I checked up on this one guy. He used to be really, back in the 70s, everybody was falling after him. And he was telling everybody how to raise kids and so forth. And he didn't even have, when he married, didn't even have no kids. You know, isn't it strange how somebody can try to tell somebody else, you know, what to do, and they have no experience to back up what they're saying? You know, now it's fine to listen to somebody that's been in leadership, but I'm not going to listen to somebody that's never been in leadership. Now somebody said, well, you might learn something. Well, I could, but I've been there, done it. Come on. I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm trying to encourage you tonight to learn how to be a winner. You know, to become a champion that God has designed you to be, you got to have the right knowledge. And that's the knowledge of the Word of God. And then another trap is wrong company, nor stands in the path of the sinners. Many people fall into this path. They run with the wrong bunch. You can't run with losers and expect to be a winner. Their mentality is not a winning mentality. Come on. You know, you can't run with people that don't have, I mean, they may be born again, they may accept Christ their Savior, but they know nothing about faith. They'll drag you down. They got this defeated attitude. You know, I'm a born Texan, live down there. Texans are a little bit of a different breed. You know, everybody graduated from, used to, and I think it still is, if you can't graduate from high school if you hadn't passed Texas history. I don't know whether it's still that way or not. I got any recent graduates from Texas that can tell me the difference. But, I mean, man, when the going would get rough, somebody would holler, remember the Alamo. 187 brave Texans held off 13,000 Mexicans for 100 and some odd days. But it's just that kind of, remember the Alamo, and everybody, all right, well, come on, let's go, we can do it. It's just, I don't know. That's the way you got to get with God and the Word when it comes to the devil and people coming in trying to put you down and put you, bring everything, you know, you got to say, hey, wait a minute. If you want to be successful, then hang with the successful. If you don't have strong faith, hang with people of strong faith. You know, surround yourself with the right kind of crowd. You know, even the Bible talks about that. If you hang with the wrong crowd, you're going to get corrupted. Isn't that what the Bible says? Anybody ever read that in there? Yeah. You know, if you won't be called a duck, then hang with the ducks. Quack like the ducks. They'll call you a duck. Huh? See, if you don't know, ask God to connect you with the right people that can help you be a success in life, both spiritually and naturally. On these Wednesday nights, and most all of the preach messages I do, I do them from a standpoint of helping people in the natural as well as the supernatural or the spiritual side, because the same thing that makes you a success in the natural side will make you a success in the spiritual side. It's the same kind. You know, you get up and go to work whether you want to or not because you want that paycheck. Well, you get up and read the Word of God whether you want to or not because you want the things of God and the promises of God to work in your life. It's the same principles. Let me understand what I'm coming from. You know, now, the third trap I want to talk about is wrong conversation. nor sits in the sea of the scornful, nor sit where people are, their conversation. Hey, if you want victory, then you need to talk victory. You know, words are powerful. Actually, words are containers, really, if you think about it. They're containers. They're either filled with hate, disappointment, unbelief, whatever. Are they filled with excitement, faith? Come on. And have you ever noticed that when you're around somebody that talks positive, you begin to feel positive? You get around people talking negative and you start falling into that negativity. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, that's why you need, I mean, sometimes, I haven't done it in a while because I haven't been around anybody, but I used to be around somebody and they start to talk about people and negative, and I just say, hey, my ears are not garbage cans. I'm not listening to that. And I turn around and walk off. Because if you listen to it, it can get into you and your mind will start thinking on it. You ever watched a trial? And an attorney will elicit some information, and the other attorney would say he objects, and the judge caps and said, sustain. And then he tells this court clerk, he says, wipe that out. You can take it off where that court clerk is writing it down, but you can't take it out of the minds of those jurors when they get into that jury room. That's why he did it. You got to be careful that the enemy don't bring people around that will start saying negative stuff that'll get in you, and all of a sudden you go in the wrong direction. Come on now. You know, if you want to achieve great victory, then learn to talk victory. Yeah, people don't realize it, but their confession and their talk leads them to defeat or leads them to victory. David had a great, great victory over Goliath. But I want you to notice that David didn't go out there talking smack and mocking Goliath and all that. He went out there and said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And because of what he's going to do through me, now this is what I'm going to do. See, you see where his talk was? His talk was based upon the Lord Jehovah. Our talk needs to be based on what the Word of God says. When we're talking, we need to be talking the Word. Now, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy life and have fun, and you can't make a little something funny every once in a while. You know, some people are so into this that they can't even live life. I went somewhere one time. I was way back in the late 70s, early 80s. I was doing a full gospel businessman's deal, and So I got there and I walked in. The guy picked me up and we walked into the auditorium where they're going to have the meeting. And there were some guys setting up a sound system. And I said, oh, my Lord, you ain't got them guys setting your sound, have you? Oh, why? Don't make that kind of confession. I stopped and I said, wait a minute. I know those guys. They're really good with sound. I was just having a little fun. Oh, you can't do that. You got to be careful what you say. Well, you do have to be careful what you say, but it doesn't get you to the point where you can't enjoy life. How many have ever been with somebody you couldn't say anything? See, they're so spiritually good that they're no earthly good. And then there's some of them so earthly good that they're no spiritual good. Hello. He gained his victory not by mocking Goliath, not by calling a prayer meeting, not by fasting 14 days and 3 weeks. He just simply said, in the name of the Lord, I come to you. You know, now some people, and there's nothing wrong with prayer. There's nothing wrong with a prayer chain, but just because you got a lot of people praying doesn't make it any stronger. The Bible said if two or three agree. Oh, we got to get a 24-hour prayer chain going because of this situation. Well, it's good to pray. But see, we get to the point that we think it's not in line with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with people praying 24 hours if they want to, but just because you got a 24-hour prayer chain doesn't mean that it's going to happen any quicker or any faster or any better. The Bible said if two or three agree, and it didn't say you had to pray all day and all night. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I won't come back and say there's nothing wrong with that. But I never noticed in the Word of God where Jesus ever prayed very long prayer at all. Some of the other people. You know, a lot of people think because you fast so many days. Y'all, some of y'all need to get my dad's book back there on fasting. My dad never fasted over 3 days in his life unless God specifically told him to. And I only saw him do that one time in my life. And I lived with him from the time I was born to 2003. Because he would say, if you're going to get your answer, you should get it in 3 days unless God tells you to go on a long fast. Come on now. I'm talking about being successful. Just because you're going a long fast, just because you have a prayer chain, doesn't mean that it's going to be successful. Come on now. I've got some of you shutting down on me. That's fine. You can believe what you want to, but I can prove everything I said by the Word of God. See, the writer of Hebrews says, hold fast your confession of hope without wavering, for he is promised. He who promised is faithful. To end up victorious, you got to say the right things at the right time and move at the right time. Now, I want you to notice David said the right things, and then he did not wait for the giant to come to him. He ran to the giant. I mean, that's just one of the things that you know, in football, you want to be the hitter, not the hittee. I'm running with that ball and I see I'm fixing to get hit. I'm going to make sure I make the initial contact. And sometimes you can bowl them over and keep going. Hello. See, the devil starts coming after you. Hey, don't sit there and wait on him. No, go after him with the word. Now, there's three places that David tells us to stand as we read from him in the Psalms. And I'm going to read Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the wings of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to take you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, and you shall trample underfoot. He said here that we stand under the Almighty. If you're going to walk in victory, you got to walk close to him. If you're standing in the shadow of the Almighty, that means you're close. And there he'll give you counsel. There he will strengthen you. There he will protect you. There he will deliver you. Some people don't live close enough to hear the voice of God. Hello. You know, I actually got called to the ministry when I was about 11 years old. At a December 31st service at our church. I used to hate those. Because nothing really happened until about 11 o'clock, and then we really started having service. Up to that, they just messing around, killing time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And from then until I was about 17 and a half, I lived for God. But God is over there, and this is the line. Now, if I step over there, I'm over the line. So this is where I'm dwelling, because you don't hear, the voice of God's not very strong when you're that far away from him. You know, you're right on the edge. That's not a good place to live. Hello. You need to live under his shadow. If you're gonna live under the shadow of something. You know, I'm casting a shadow right here in them lights. I can see it right there. So if you're going to be in my shadow, you got to be right here. Come on. If you want to pursue victory, there's things that the enemy will come to you and do to try to take you out. But God is your refuge. He is your fortress. It says here, he's the shield. Living close to God means being sensitive to his desires and walking according to his instructions. You see, I knew that if I got over here close to God, he's going to tell me he wants me doing something else, and I didn't want to do it, so I walk over here so I don't have to listen to him. You know, sometimes we have selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. And we do what we want to do. That don't work with God. It may have worked with mom or dad, but it don't work with God. When you're living close to God, he will defend you. He'll give you the strength and the knowledge to defeat your enemy. Now, I could go on and on. I think you're getting what I'm talking about because it's getting close to time. Secondly, we got to stand on the scripture. Psalms 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. We have to learn to stand on the scripture all the time, not when it's good. Even in the bad times, we stand on the scripture. We stand on the scripture when we don't know what to do. David said the Lord was his counsel. That means the word of the Lord. And we know that nothing prevails against the Word of God. So confessing the Word of God unlocks the power of God to help you. Now, David probably wasn't strong enough at 17 years to throw that sling hard enough that that rock is going to kill that giant. That might knock him down or something. But I want to tell you what. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And when he let that go, God propelled that thing. When you let the word of God out of your mouth toward your situation, it's propelled by the power of God and takes the enemy out. Glory to God. I'm talking about being a winner with God. You know, during difficult times when I was a kid growing up with Dad, I'd say, Dad, what are we going to do? And he said, son, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. Stand on the unchangeable, unshakable, immovable word of God. You know, we sing an old song used to, standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Standing on the promises, I shall prevail. I forget the rest. My wife was here. She could help me. She knows all of them. Now, I'm going to come with a third one at you. Now, some of you are not going to like this one. You got to stand with the people of God. Psalm 26:12, my foot stands in an even place in the congregation. I will bless the Lord. I've taken a stand and I will publicly praise the Lord. Here, David is indicating being a part of the local congregation. Together we worship God. Together we believe God. Together we support one another. You know, I find it very, and I've seen it all my life. I've been in the church all my life. My dad was a pastor when I was born and then left and went into traveling ministry, and I've been in church all my life. The minute people get in a situation, instead of coming to church, they quit coming to church because the enemy tells them, oh, you failed now. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to say, no, you don't have any faith. That ain't got anything to do with it. You know, coming together, it brings strength to you when you come. You may not realize it, but when you come and sing and worship and sit here and fellowship, it brings strength. It brings encouragement. It'll bring comfort. It'll help you grow up. You know, together we help each other obtain victory. Now, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some, but exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we need to realize that we need to come together. We're fastly approaching the end, and if there's anybody that's going to be a friend to you, it's going to be your fellow church members. If anybody going to stand with you and pray with you and stand with you in an hour of need, it's going to be church people. You know? How many of you have been in the hospital in the last year or so from this church? You're a part of this church. How many of you, this staff visited you? I see everybody's hand. How many of you, some of the church people came and visited you? Yeah. Yeah. See, being a part of a local congregation makes you into a position that you're not out here hanging by yourself. Y'all may not know it, but every pastor that gets a call Somebody is in the hospital. Somebody's sick or for some reason. I mean, they might not even be in the hospital. They just may need the prayer. There is a group text that goes out to every one of us. And we all start praying. In fact, when I turned my phone on this morning, there was a group text here. There it was from Bill. And he was talking about, it came in at 8:23 this morning, about the different people that he was seeing at different places, different hospitals. And here we are, different ones wrote back and said, praying and so forth and so on. I got it right here. Myself, I always say, hey, that's what standing together means. Hello? You know, I hope you got something out of this. But if we're going to stand in the winner's circle, we got to stand under the shadow of the Almighty. We got to stand on the scripture. And we got to stand with the saints. And we got to avoid those traps that I talked about in the first part of the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word tonight. I trust that as we spoke tonight, that each individual would have gotten a hold of some part of what was said tonight, and that it will be beneficial for them in their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? So I want you to be winners, both in the natural and in the spiritual side. God wants us to be that way. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. He just didn't say spiritual life. He said life. That means both lives. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Hey, you just come on and join us. We call ourselves the Rhema family. We have a great time serving God, unlimited around here. So we welcome you to come. If you've just been passing through our area, then make this your home away from home every time you're in our area. We'd be glad to call you one of us. Amen. If you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you happen to know what it is to serve Christ, but you know you're not where exactly you need to be and you need to rededicate your life, or maybe you've been going to church all your life and you never know whether you've ever actually accepted Christ or not, well, tonight would be a good night. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, as we're dismissed, if you'll come to the front, the ladies here, the men over here, they will pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to agree with you for a job, you want prayer for any reason whatsoever, the prayer people are here. They're here to minister to you and for you. And right? Amen. Don't forget, Friday night down at the Cox Business Center at 7 o'clock, I think it is, we have Rhema graduation. You're all invited to come down. This is what, our 43rd graduating class? I've been in every one of them. And don't forget Sunday morning, right here, come believe and come expect it. Remember all the announcements, especially with the youth, the youth camp announcements. That is the great place for your youth to find a real relationship with God. I don't know how many ministers that I talk to, and they will tell you that that's where they received their call for the ministry, was at the youth camp. I don't know how many people that I talk to have said that is where I first made my first real relationship with Christ, was at a youth camp. So it's a great place. So get your kids there. All right. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. God bless. We'll see you Sunday.